Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And if you wish to follow along in the Pew Bible, you will find that on page 72 of the New Testament. Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to a time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is your friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who would give your child, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the assurance that we can always ask. You have told us to search and to knock, and you have promised us that you will be there, that you will provide what we need in whatever way we reach out to you. Lord, today we pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to hear the message that you have for each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that this message is truly of you and not of me. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have any of you ever been to creation? No one? One. Creation is a music festival that is outside of Shirleysburg, which is near Mount Union. For those who have not been there, it's an event that is not just music. They have speakers and they have workshops, and it begins on a Wednesday and it lasts till Sunday morning. And it's called Creation because we are there to worship our Creator. I went to this festival for probably 14 or 15 years. I started out going, taking my children, and then it expanded, and I began to take youth along. But I can tell you, in those years of going, there were anywhere from 60,000 to more than 100,000 people, most of them being young people, but not all. One night during the festival, everyone receives communion together. Another night of the festival, there is a candlelight service. And so in the dark of the night, 100,000 candles are lit simultaneously. I can't even begin to tell you the emotion that is involved in this celebration of God as we gather together in this cornfield in the middle of nowhere. But when you are with 100,000 people and you are all receiving the body and the blood of Christ at the same time, it speaks volumes to you. As you stand in that darkness and you see those candles lit on that hillside, as you look around, it brings you goosebumps. During the day, as we go to worship services and listen to the music, we know that we are there for one reason. And that reason is to worship our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. It is a time for us to witness to our faith with thousands of others who are there with us. Many who have given their lives to Christ, but also there are many who do not yet know Jesus. It is a time of encouragement. It is a time of sharing the good news with the hopes that those who do not know Jesus will at that time give their lives to Him. See, you can't be at creation and not be changed in some way. It doesn't matter whether you accept Christ during that time or whether you accepted Christ a long time before going to creation. You leave there different. You leave there touched by the love of God. You leave there knowing that the Creator gave you everything there is in this world. You leave there changed. And the reason for that is because of the worship experience that you have at creation. It isn't about the event itself, although that's what we talk about, but it's about the experience you have at this event. That experience becomes part of who you are or who you become in Jesus Christ. I can honestly tell you, every year after I left creation and that experience, I would say to myself, why is it so different here than in our worship services on Sunday morning? Well, one thing, we don't have 60,000 people here. And I can assure you that we are never going to have 60,000 people here. Well, I shouldn't say that. If that's God's desire for us, that's what will happen. But there is a big difference in worship by the number of people that you have worshiping with you, by the attitude of the people who are worshiping with you. Now, I don't want us to discount the fact that Jesus assured us, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. Because truly, if it was only me and one other person who was here, Christ would be with us. But there is a difference when you have that energy of so many bodies together in an atmosphere of worship. Another factor is that worship experience isn't about us. See, too often on a Sunday morning, we come to church to get what we want. That truly isn't why we should be here. We should be here because we are here to worship God. We are here to experience what God has for us. And we are here not simply for ourselves, but that we may gather together as the children of God, that we could experience Him together. And so as we gather here in this place on Sunday mornings, our focus should be on Jesus Christ. Our focus should be on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but on the fact that Christ gave Himself for each of us so that our sins could be forgiven. And He rose again that we might have eternal life. As we say the Apostles' Creed on Sundays, do you just recite those words from memory or read them in the hymnal? Or do you really believe them and live them? Because if we do, then our hearts and minds are focused on the Lord and our worship of Him. And we are open to what God's Holy Spirit has for us in this particular time of worship. Now, as your pastor, I also have to be open to God's Holy Spirit, not just here in this hour, but I have to be open to God's Holy Spirit as I'm reading and praying over Scripture and what it is that God has for me to share with you. That my preaching and my teaching be led by God. And I can tell you that there are some Sunday mornings when I leave worship that I go, thank you, God, that message was truly meant for me today. After worship at Christ this morning, one of the gentlemen said to me, thank you for that message. It kind of stepped on my toes. Well, there was an old pastor who once said, when you leave a worship service, you should either be saying, ouch, or amen. Ouch or amen. Maybe both. Our worship service should also be an experience for us. We come here to experience God. We aren't here as spectators. We aren't here like we go to a sporting event or a movie or a concert. We are here to experience God. And in order for us to do that, we have to be engaged in the worship service. And that's from the beginning of the service to the end, because God speaks to us through all of it. He speaks to us in the music that we hear. He speaks to us in the prayers that are lifted. He speaks to us through the children. God speaks to us in every aspect of the service. We are also here and need to experience relationships. First and foremost, our relationship with God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's also our relationships with one another. We are called here to love and support and encourage one another in our faith journey. And we're all in different places on that faith journey, aren't we? But we need to help one another as we journey to the cross of Jesus Christ. Worship is about giving honor and glory to God. So on Sunday mornings, it's about the gathering of the community of faith to praise God, to learn the will of God, and to be challenged to live into that will in a way that takes us to that next space or that next step of our commitment, or that first step of commitment, by giving our lives to Jesus. And if you have not yet done that, I would encourage you to do so. Remember, our altar is always open, but also my office door is always open. So I would encourage you, if you feel the need to ever talk about that commitment in your life, to please reach out to me. And then after we come together in this community of faith, it's about going out from this place to live our lives. To live lives that hopefully bring honor and glory to God. That in everything we say and do, that others will see the living Christ in us. But in order for that to happen, all parts of our worship have to come together. They have to connect. We gather together, we sing praises, we pray, we hear God's word, we hear his message as it is proclaimed, and then we respond and we go forth. See, corporate worship brings us together, but then we have to live our daily lives, don't we? Six other days, actually six and three-quarter days of the week. And so how is it that we celebrate God in the hours that we are not here? How do we live so that others can see Christ living in our lives? In our gospel reading this morning, the disciples say to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." This is a prayer that we say every week. The prayer known as the Lord's Prayer. Do we truly live out those words in our life? If we are living out those words, then first and foremost, God is the center of our lives. Meaning we remember what God has already done for each of us. It's thinking about who God is in our lives in this very moment. It's about opening ourselves to hear what God is saying to us. Most especially what God is asking of us. And looking around and seeing where God is at work in our world. Our lives should honor God. So when we pray, "Hallowed be your name," what we are saying is, Lord, we are offering ourselves to you as a channel through which you can show your nature by how we live our lives. By the way we treat one another. By the way we treat those who we do not know. By the words that we speak to and about others, and by the deeds that we do. In other words, what are our lives showing people who do not yet know Jesus Christ? Next, we say, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do we think that God's a magician and is just going to wave his magic wand and everything will be a heaven-like atmosphere? It's not how God works, is it? When Jesus tells us that we are to pray, "Your will be done," he is calling us to live as he lived. To live by the example that he has set for us. To allow our lives to be led by the Holy Spirit, which God promised each and every person who accepted Christ as their Savior. To live our lives into the will of God. So that through us, others will see the kingdom of heaven. It's about participating. Meaning that we trust God to take care of all of our needs, as he says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. He's not only talking about food. He's not only talking that we make sure that we have food on our tables to eat or have the means to go out to a restaurant and buy food. He is talking about trusting him for every need that we have. I have a saying, worry less and pray more. See, when we have a need or a concern, whether it be for us or whether it be for someone else, we need to give it to God and we need to trust God with it. We need to know that God will care for that need or that concern in a way that we may never understand. But we need to trust. And we need to know that He will care for us. Always, even when it seems, because of our human thinking, that it is not the way we should be cared for. It's that trusting Him. And sometimes the hardest part of this prayer is our focus on others. When God calls us, when Jesus tells us that we are to forgive others as we have been forgiven. Sometimes that seems like the most difficult thing to do. And I would encourage you that if that is something you are struggling with right now, that you are struggling to be able to forgive someone, that you pray about it. That you ask God to show you the way. That you remember the forgiveness that has been shown to you. And also to remember the words of Jesus as given to us in the Gospel of Matthew. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. I don't know about you, my friends, but that's not something that I want to chance. I don't want to get to the gates of heaven and God say to me, I'm sorry, because you did not forgive whomever, I cannot forgive you. Then we ask God to help us in our times of temptation. In the Gospel of Luke, it says trial. We know how powerful Satan is here on earth, of the temptations and the trials that come into our lives. How Satan does all in his power to keep others from coming to Christ. We've seen it for years and years as our congregations get smaller and smaller. But we also see it as Satan attacks God's children and pulls them away from God. So how serious are you and I in asking God for that protection? Maybe before the temptations even come. Do you remember the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Gospel of John when he was praying for his disciples? He says to the Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one. Wouldn't it have just been easier if Jesus had said, don't allow any temptations or any trials come to those who are following me? But that is not what he prayed. And the reason being is because God gave each of us a free will. And the only way that we can exercise that is to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. To give the glory to God. That when those temptations come our way, that we pray to help us fight that temptation. That when those trials come into our lives, that we pray for the strength to get through them. And we're told in our gospel lesson this morning that in order for that to happen, that we have to be persistent in our prayer. You have to persevere. It's not about just laying it before the Lord once and saying, Jesus, this is what is tempting me. Take it away. Lord, this is a trial I'm going through. Help me deal with it. No, it's about going to the Lord time and time again, seeking that strength to avoid that temptation and to get through that trial. So as we live out this prayer that Jesus has taught us, what we will find is that God will change us. That as we continue to seek His help, that we will see that our lives are changed, that we will draw closer to the Lord, and we will become more like Him. And then we will notice that our lives are beginning to be lived out in worship. Maybe not always, because we're human, but more often. We will see that it is no longer about what our wants and our desires may be, but we begin to see what it is that God has. We begin to live into His will. So my prayer for all of us is that we move from worship as an event in our lives, from a one-hour period of time on a Sunday morning, to our lifestyles being a life of worship, which bring honor and glory to God our Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.